Welcome to the Magic and Mindfulness Podcast. You're joining me, Amy Maxwell, on my journey of understanding the world of light magic in order to cultivate mindful living. I'm so excited for you to join me on this path of discovery. Hello, everyone, and welcome back to season 3 of the Magic and Mindfulness podcast. I am thrilled that you're here tuning in today, because today I'm speaking to Alyssa Boyer, who is a mentor helping highly sensitive people, also referred to as HSPs, stop apologizing for their sensitivity and own who they are. And I really wanted to open this new season with this discussion because, quite frankly, if there was ever a time where we're more hyper aware or more hypersensitive, it's arguably right now. A lot of us out there have become more sensitive, and this is due to the overwhelm of the news, the constant barrage of social media and those damn pinging of apps, and the post-pandemic trauma that a lot of us still carry. And we're just navigating our lives in general. So it's arguably more difficult than ever. And this can feel like a lot for someone who might identify as a HSP. And I personally have been shamed during some of my past experiences, particularly in the corporate world, where at times I'd be told I was too emotional or too sensitive, when in fact, I just cared so much about people and their emotions, and I didn't really know how to best manage or navigate them. And Alyssa also speaks to us about how to navigate being a HSP in the workplace and how to turn this trait into a superpower. And I also feel like, as a light worker, being highly sensitive is not something I necessarily embraced before, because I didn't really know that it was a thing to be a highly sensitive person. And also just because I felt quite ashamed at times due to what I was told in the corporate world, I hid that trait away from the outside world. But because it was still innately there, I carried a lot of the time other people's energy around and felt constantly drained. So today we also discuss how to implement boundaries so you can better manage being around others and ways to cope with overwhelm. So during our chat today, we identify what a HSP is. You might therefore be able to pick up on whether you identify with this, or maybe you know someone who might be a HSP, so you can understand how to support them, how to embrace these traits of a highly sensitive person, and also turn them into strengths. And finally, how to navigate being a HSP in the current overwhelming world. So before we start the chat with Alyssa, I'd love to share more about today's episode sponsor. Now, as someone who is a confessed coffee fiend, I was never a massive tea drinker. And this is mainly because I was always rushing from A to B. I never felt that I owed it to myself to have time to pause and have a mindful moment. So clearly a lot of inner child work has been done since then though, because now I love to indulge my senses and have a real moment with my rose tulips times your yoga tea. I only work with brands I truly use, and I've been drinking rose tulips for a few years now. So much so that they've become part of my yoga routine. So after my morning practice, I'll meditate with my tea to connect with my spirit and my body. Their rose tulips times your yoga tea is a beautiful floral aroma of damask rose infused with delicate notes of lemongrass, chamomile, ginger, and relaxing lavender, containing sustainable herbs and flowers that have natural healing properties for boosting the immune system, soothing the stomach and aiding with relaxation. And for listeners, you get 20% off your purchase and a free sample with every order, so you can experience the different herbal flower combinations. You can find the link in the show notes and simply enter the code MAGICTEA, that's MAGICKT, for 20% off your order at checkout. So thank you, Rose Tulips, for sponsoring this episode. It's a wonderful conversation today with Alyssa Boyer on owning your strength and worth as a highly sensitive person. I cannot wait for you to hear it. So let's do it. Let's start the show. So hey, Alyssa, how are you doing today?
Hi, I'm good. How are you? I'm happy to be here.
I'm super excited for you to be here. I think this topic is going to be very helpful for not only me, but also for the listeners as well. And I think it's really nice just to ask, like, where are you dialing in from today?
Yeah, I'm in Orange County, California. I'm actually at my parents' house right now while my mom watches my 4-month-old baby. And they live on the beach in San Clemente. So right near the ocean right now.
Oh, yeah. You just had a baby, haven't you? So it's all like new motherhood for you.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. It's been a wild ride for sure. It's been amazing. It's been hard. It's learning a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And how are you finding like juggling your work-life balance? You're still getting there.
Yeah. Still figuring that out, to be honest. I thought I would have, for some reason, thought I'd have more energy to devote to business, and I realized like I don't. So having to be very mindful with how I spend my time and, you know, being sure to ask for support, it's been a really good learning for me. I'm learning a lot so that I can kind of help other HSPs, highly sensitive people, navigate new motherhood too, because it's been a journey.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it's a new thing to share in that chapter of your life. And motherhood is a whole topic on itself, isn't it? That's
for sure,
highly sensitive people could relate to a lot of stuff around that. But thanks for joining me today, so that we are going to talk more about highly sensitive people. And I think also it's a topic that I see a lot on social media. I've been following you for quite some time now as well on your account, and I think HSP, like you were just saying, like the sort of abbreviation for highly sensitive person is something that's sort of become a lot more mainstream now. But I think also it's a term that's sort of, you know, talked about, maybe thrown around a lot. But, you know, like myself, I see snippets on social media, but actually I've never had a proper conversation to anyone about what it means. Mm-hmm. But so we're going to dive into that today. But before we do that, I'd just love to hear from you. Like, what was your experience with knowing more about what being a highly sensitive person was like? How did that find you? And also, how did it lead you to become a highly sensitive person coach and mentor that you are now?
So yeah, it was definitely like a windy journey to learning that I was a highly sensitive person. Like, of course, my entire life, I knew that I was very sensitive. I was always like super emotional. Things always felt like a big deal. I felt like things impacted me more than other people. So I always knew I was sensitive. I didn't think it was a good thing. I thought it caused me problems. And so I really felt that way, honestly, into young adulthood. I often was just like a person who needed a lot of sleep. I needed to, like, I always had big feelings, and I'd come home from school and journal all of these big feelings. And it was just, I was always intense, and I was always feeling a lot. And so I thought it was something that I needed to suppress and hide. You know, we don't really hear in our society, like, the people aren't really encouraging people to be sensitive, unfortunately.
Yeah.
But when I was in my early 20s, I think it was like maybe 21 or 22, I started my first corporate job out of college, and it was like very intense, fast-paced environment. I was in the retail industry, and I'm like a very driven person. And so I was like pushing myself to like get the promotions and like rise to the top. And I started getting really burnt out. I started developing severe digestive issues because I was so stressed all of the time. And I was really trying to keep up with all of the people around me. And so my digestive issues continued to get worse, and I started to see a holistic doctor. And in working with him, he started talking to me about how emotional stress and, like, you know, my cortisol was always risen because I was always stressed out. He taught me how this was impacting my body, my entire system. And so in working with him, I started to understand kind of the mind-body connection. I started getting really into self-development, reading self-help books. And that was when I heard about the book, The Highly Sensitive Person, which is written by Dr. Elaine Aron. You know, anyone listening, if you haven't read that book and you suspect you might be highly sensitive, definitely read it. So I read that book in like a weekend, and it changed my life. I learned that there is a term called highly sensitive person. It explained me perfectly. it explained why I was so impacted by that work environment and why I got so sick when, you know, other people mm-hmm. around me could do the same thing. It just impacted me more. And so I just became really passionate because learning about my sensitivity, like, helped me change the way I treated myself. I got into meditation. I got into yoga, like mm-hmm. doing all these things to support myself. And then I started blogging a couple of years later, not for HSPs, just blogging about, you know, self-help and whatever. I was just like really passionate to share.
Yeah.
And from there, it just kind of like spiraled and turned into eventually talking about highly sensitive people. Cause anytime I mentioned sensitivity on my blog, people were like, oh my gosh, I totally relate. So
yeah,
I mean, it's like a whole other thing. So I can stop there and because I know I just said a lot.
But, no, that's great. That's great. Yeah. I always find it really interesting to hear people's stories. And I think, you know, how you've got to where you are today and just the journey that you've come to. Because yeah, also you've done such a great job with relating to so many people. Like, you know, you have a really broad reach on social media. And I think whenever I see your post and even just listening to that story, actually, I would love to dive into that a little bit more mm-hmm. because I think, you know, there's probably people listening as well thinking, oh yeah, I relate to that. And literally what you were just saying, I used to work in a corporate environment. I still kind of do in a sense, I freelance, but I had the sort of same thing where I was told all of my sort of corporate career, not all the time, but by a lot of men actually in the corporate mm-hmm. world, that I was too emotional, too sensitive. And actually I thought I was fucking great. Like, I worked really hard and I was just like killing it. But yeah, I think to my own detriment, I also got a kind of burnout, and it's obviously that sort of, I don't really like want to identify anymore with that sort of slogging, you know, mm-hmm. culture of just like always just needed to burn yourself out basically in order to be successful. I really don't want to identify that anymore, and it's not good. But I do identify with a lot of the things that you just said, and I think probably a lot of people will as well. But are there any sort of you mentioned you read that book which kind of changed mm-hmm. your outlook on being a highly sensitive person. I mean, are there kind of any main traits that you see a lot of the time that you could identify someone as being a highly sensitive person, would you say?
Definitely. So like, for anyone listening, if you're thinking you might be highly sensitive, there is a self-test you can take online. It's hsperson.com, and it's a test out of 27 questions. I believe if you score like 12 or 13 or more, then you're highly sensitive, and mm-hmm. it's on a spectrum. So like, I think my score is 24 out of 27. So I'm on the, highly sensitive. Mm-hmm. So that's one way I would direct people. But in general, some of the traits that HSPs have are very, very empathetic. So we have more active mirror neurons in our brain, which means that those are responsible for like understanding how people feel. Like, they've done brain scans and they're firing more in the brains of highly sensitive people. So we're just naturally like attuned to other people's emotions and feelings. Mm. HSPs tend to be extra emotional for sure. So the type to maybe, you know, see a beautiful sunset and cry and just like experience life in a deep way. Mm. Also, it's like we get overstimulated more easily because really, HSPs, we have more sensitive nervous systems. So things can just feel more intense to us. We're just taking in a lot more information. So we can get overwhelmed and overstimulated more easily because mm-hmm. it's like our nervous system is just kind of, you know, get affected more easily than someone who's not highly sensitive. So even things like, you know, some HSPs are sensitive to like certain light. Like, if the lights are too bright, that's really bothersome. Or if there's like, you know, an annoying sound or there's a smell, even things with like clothing. A lot of HSPs can be picky about their clothing because it's mm-hmm. like, if it's scratchy. So it's like, it's emotional sensitivity, it's sensory sensitivity. The scientific term for highly sensitive people is sensory processing sensitivity. It's not a disorder. A lot of people will get that kind of confused. Being highly sensitive is simply a trait. It's like being an introvert or an extrovert. You're a highly sensitive person. So those are a few things. And the other thing that HSPs are known for is like depth of processing. So we can really get deep in the details. We can notice patterns that other people might not see. A lot of us are good at like spotting trends. So like in my previous life, I was a merchandise planner, and I did a lot of like trend forecasting, and that was like great for me as a highly sensitive person.
Yeah.
And to be detail oriented. So there's a lot, and it looks different for every person. Everyone has like a different flavor of sensitivity, I like to say.
Yeah, that's cool. Thanks for sharing that. And it's nice for people to pick up on some of those and maybe read the book and go into more detail, do that test online. I was just thinking though, it's kind of a shame, isn't it? Because obviously you found your calling now and you're able to share this work with other people and sort of, share your knowledge. But actually like myself as well, and I'm sure so many listeners who, maybe do have a sort of a passion or something else that fulfills them in a more corporate space, there's just unfortunately not that kind of infrastructure, is there, to support people who are highly sensitive people. I mean, do you know anyone, Alyssa, that sort of still does that kind of line of work? And have you got any tips for people who, I guess, still do have that kind of line of work, but would maybe identify as a HSP? And how can they navigate that? Because, I couldn't handle it at the end of the day. I had to leave because it was just too much for my... the cortisol thing that you're speaking about. It's interesting you say that. Like, I used to feel like I was quite high on life a lot of the time. Mm-hmm. And I think it was just that, rush of cortisol and excitement around things. But then being so drained if I was in the workplace and took on too much of other people's energy. And, it's hard.
Absolutely. Yeah. And I'm glad you bring this up. I mean, I just quit my full-time job a few weeks ago. Been building this business since 2019, working full-time on the side of it. So like I get that full-time corporate life, like completely understand. So I always empathize with HSPs in that environment. And my perspective actually with that I like to help teach HSPs is definitely one of empowerment. I'm a big fan of we're not always going to be able to be in our ideal environment, right? Like we're going to be in things that are out of our comfort zone. And so I always teach HSPs, it's important to expand our tolerance for stress. And so I find if you are in a corporate environment or something that's not ideal for you, obviously you don't want to be in a constant state of stress. Mm-hmm. But if it's kind of a low level stressful environment, it's important to have practices that pour back into yourself so that when you go into the world, you have ways to come back to yourself. So starting your day with meditation, having grounding practices in your day, having different nervous system regulation tools. Like I'm a big fan of emotional freedom technique or the butterfly tapping, having some tools in your toolkit to turn to in the midst of a stressful day is essential. Cause the reality is a lot of highly sensitive people have to be working in these environments because they need to bring, make
money.
Can
I ask you what the emotional freedom technique is?
Oh yeah. So emotional freedom technique, otherwise known as tapping. So it's a technique for releasing emotional stress and regulating your nervous system. So you tap on different acupressure points. I'm going here. Oh. And you say phrases along with it. And it helps you literally release the emotions and it releases stress. It's amazing. It's I do it all especially a lot now as a new mom, because it's almost instantaneous where you just feel relaxed after. So that's something I teach all of the HSPs that I work with. And there's tons of free videos on YouTube for anyone who's never tried it.
Okay.
Amazing.
Oh, I'll have to check that out. What would you say then, when you're tapping a point, or is it very complicated?
Yeah. So let's see, for instance, if you're feeling anxious, you could be I am safe. I am safe. Mm-hmm. I am safe. Or there, and the videos on YouTube, can take you through a whole sequence. So it's if you're having anxiety about something specific, you can watch a 10-minute video that'll literally take you through all the points and help you move through it. So it's a really powerful tool. Yeah.
Amazing.
So all of the HSPs that I work with, I always tell them you want to put your armor on for the day is what I like to say, because because as highly sensitive people, we are the minority. There's about 15 to 20% of the population is highly sensitive. So we live in a not sensitive world. So it's like, how can we create a feeling of safety within ourselves so that we can go out into these different spaces and not feel completely overwhelmed all of the time? Of course, the caveat is if you are in a toxic work environment, you need to have the discernment to know, like, is there, you know, is this a healthy level of stress, or is this like a seriously toxic environment that I need to get myself out of? Because there's, of course, a difference. But yeah, so I'm big on like, okay, how can you create sense of safety within yourself and feel empowered to go out and live your life and not be like, oh my God, I need to like stay in a room by myself and never do anything again, you know?
Yeah. And increase your threshold, like you were saying. I think it is important because you can get, it's really interesting actually to hear more about this. Thanks for sharing all of your knowledge, because yeah, I feel personally, I'm just speaking for myself, like I follow your account and there's a few others that I follow which are sort of tuned into highly sensitive people. And whenever I see them, I'm just like, oh, thank God. Like it makes me feel a lot less alone. And in a way, I guess maybe it's because I'm consuming more of that content. But I thought that there was more people like us who are highly sensitive people. And is that 15% you said, or it's not a big number actually. So we have to really take care of ourselves, because I think it's easy to assume that there's more people who do kind of feel some of these traits, but don't actually.
Yeah, exactly. And because of that, it's important, like it's important that we have the knowledge and that we know how to support ourselves and know how to advocate for ourselves, because we can't assume that other people are going to just know what we need. It's, and that's one of the hard things for HSPs sometimes, is like asserting ourselves and giving ourselves what we need, because we tend to be people pleasers. We tend to not want to rock the boat. Mm-hmm. And I mean, it's such a complex thing, but it's so important for us.
Yeah. And I think I've seen somewhere on your Instagram that you've said like being a highly sensitive person can actually be like a superpower. What are some of the more, I guess, because we kind of, I don't think they're negatives, but some of the things that we've spoken about are like how to manage, you know, being a highly sensitive person, which is super helpful. But I mean, there's also great things about being and defining yourself as a HSP, right? So yeah, what are some of the things in this that you sort of see in these people?
Absolutely. There's so many things. For one, we tend to be very emotionally in tune, so this can help us relate to other people really well. That's, I think, one of my strongest skills, is like understanding what people need and being able to just connect on a deep emotional level and have deep, meaningful friendships and relationships. That tends to be a strength of HSPs. We often are pretty creative. Well, I would say a lot of, I mean, this is, I could be completely wrong, but I feel like a lot of the artists that I meet tend to be very sensitive, because you're in tune with the world around you. You're awake to what's happening around you. So it's kind of like you can alchemize that into art. And so tend to be creative, intuitive, because we are picking up so much. I really feel like HSPs are filtering less of the world around us. So we have the ability to be very connected and have a strong intuition. A lot of times HSPs need some support in learning how to tune into it, but once we do, it's really powerful. High levels of empathy. So that's a trait within, or a strength within itself, to be able to empathize with others and be an amazing caretaker, be an amazing friend. The depth of processing is one of my favorite things, because I think once we get really in our groove, we can be exceptional at the work that we do, because we can really focus on a deep level and notice all of these little details. And HSPs tend to be like amazing workers. Like if you're in, you know, in the a career that is a good fit for you, tend to be great employees because of the detail oriented, conscientious, things like that. So there's a lot of great things about being highly sensitive.
Yeah, that's cool. Thanks for sharing those. I think it's nice to note. And I think earlier you mentioned it was like kind of like a trait. Is that right? So is it something, or to your knowledge, do you know if it's something that we kind of are born with, or is it something we pick up on based on society? Because I feel like maybe I mean, yeah, I feel like a lot of my friends probably are highly sensitive people. And I wonder if there's a growing number because of, you know, how we're always on our phone, like we're always consuming, we're always comparing. Mm. Like there's such a comparison culture these days. And, you know, the feeling like we're never good enough is a big thing. I think at the moment, it's kind of been a bit of a weird theme on the podcast, strangely enough, I think.
Interesting.
Yeah, it is interesting. And I just wondered, like, if you identify with that, or if you know more about how you know the HSP is growing, and if it's a trait or
so the research says, like Dr. Elaine Aaron, who wrote the book The Highly Sensitive Person, there's like lots of research out there that points to being highly sensitive being a genetic trait that you are born with, something that is inborn in you, but it does exist on a spectrum, and mm-hmm. there are life events that can cause you to be more sensitive. So if you experience, you know, trauma as a child, this can make you be more sensitive. But there's a lot of times, that's one of the top questions mm-hmm. I get, like, how do I know if I'm highly sensitive or if it's a trauma response? So that the highly right. sensitive is an inborn trait, and it's not just being, you know, emotionally sensitive, it's also the sensory sensitivity. So that is just something that is going to be part of you as a person, but you can become more sensitive because of your life experiences. And mm-hmm. something else that's interesting that I've learned is that HSPs will be more impacted by traumatic events. So we tend to get, like, forget what the stat is, but like it was a huge amount of people in therapy are highly sensitive people mm-hmm. because we are just way more impacted. But the cool thing, just to kind of go on a quick tangent, the cool thing about being highly sensitive and getting support, whether it's therapy, coaching, is they actually find that we are also more positively impacted by having support. So we can, because we're just like more malleable. So it's like the mm-hmm. hard things that'll happen to us will impact us deeply. But if we get positive support and, you know, help, that can also, we could have even more positive outcomes. So that's important to note. But yeah, so it is something that you're born with. I do amazing, think the world, wow. yeah. And I think the world we live in, like you said, I mean, everyone is sensitive to a degree, right? So it's like, it's just that spectrum. And I think the comparison and the social media and the being connected, I don't think helps anything. Mm-hmm. But to my knowledge, the actual HSP number, I think it's probably always going to stay in that 15 to 20% range, because it's okay. just like, it's been around forever. And I think
it's something you're born into, I guess, like you're born with most of the mm-hmm. time, is what you're saying. That's super yeah. interesting.
Yeah.
Hmm. Wow. Yeah. It's super interesting. And I love all this stuff. And I think it's kind of cool, because I think it's interesting what this conversation is bringing up for me, because I feel it's a weird thing. Like, I feel like there can be a lot of shame around being a sensitive person mm-hmm. or a HSP, or even a sensitive person, I think, for women, also men, or however you identify. But I know that you kind of, correct me if I'm wrong, but what I see from, you know, your social media is that being a HSP is something we should lean into and actually sort of learn to love more. Would you say that's sort of how you see it?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. And I'm glad you brought the shame piece up. I have a program, an online program for HSPs. It's like the self-worth course mm-hmm. for highly sensitive people, because I find that so many of us struggle with our self-worth. And one of the lessons in that course is all about shame, because there is so much shame around being highly sensitive from you know, the moment we're little kids, we have these big feelings, and it's like, oh, stop being dramatic, stop crying, you're being too much. And we hear these messages over and over and over from our family members, from society. And so, of course, we internalize all of this shame about being sensitive. And then that impacts us in life as adults. And we feel like us being ourselves is something to be ashamed of. It's mm-hmm. not good. And so there's so much like rewriting we have to do. We have to do so much work to kind of, you know, move through that in order to get to a place of accepting ourselves, which is literally why I created that program, because I'm like, I think this is like the groundwork that every HSP needs to get to that point where you can see, oh, this is an awesome thing about me. This is a beautiful, you know, a beautiful trait. And it takes a long time sometimes to get to that place, because it's just piled on top of us. Like, it can be hard to believe that being sensitive is a good thing when you've heard that it's not.
Absolutely. And I think even if you see that, I think, again, talking to my own personal experience here of being more aware of that now, only in the last few years, I think literally just having seen a few more things on social media and just being able to identify with some of these terms and think, oh, and like empath, you know, that wasn't really a term that was used until very recently, or, you know, not at least in the mainstream media. And I think it is good, I think, within these circles to raise the awareness of it. But I still think that there's a lot of work to be done in like these more corporate settings.
Yeah. And I mean, that's like, that is like my mission, honestly, is to help highly sensitive. I want HSPs to be leaders in their own lives, leaders in their family, in their workplace, and in their own business if they want, because I am a firm believer that we need more of that balance in the world. We need those empathetic, sometimes soft-spoken, intuitive leaders. And unfortunately, a lot of HSPs have not felt comfortable stepping up to that, you know, to the plate to be that, because of the shame and because of the conditioning. And so that's where I'm like, I want to empower HSPs to become those people so we can have more leaders like that. Like, that is my mission. And it only can come from empowering HSPs and teaching them how to advocate for themselves. Cause again, it's like, as much as we want people to like understand, like they don't all the time. And so it's like, all right, how can we become stronger so that we can, you know, share what we need, set boundaries, and be, you know, have that strength and not feel like we have to like hide in the corner and be quiet and hide our true nature. Yeah. So yeah, I get so passionate about it, 'cause I'm like, I want more HSPs to be out there doing their thing.
You're so right. And it is true. I was sort of, that was a bit of a blame thing there, wasn't it? Just like, it's your fault. But I think you're right. You need to put it back into your hands as much as possible and educate people. And what I would be really interested, actually, you just also touched on boundaries. Like, do you have any sort of practices that you implement? And you just mentioned also you just left your corporate job not that long ago. Yeah. I mean, how was it working for you? And did you find tools and tactics that you could use to navigate being HSP and putting boundaries in place to kind of keep your energy and not be burnt out essentially by things?
Boundaries are like one of the most important things for HSPs to learn, and can be one of the hardest things for us to learn as well. It can feel super unnatural. So like for me, a sign I need a boundary always is the feeling of resentment. If I ever feel resentful, oh my God, why did they pile so much work on me? Oh my gosh, why am I so busy? Why is so much stuff on my calendar? Why are people always texting me? Whatever. It's like, I have to turn it back to myself and see, oh, resentment. Okay, where do I need to set a boundary? How can I take this back into my own hands? So when I was working in, you know, in the corporate workplace, like I would have to be honest with my boss. If I had too many things on my plate, I would literally have to be like, okay, which of these are priority? Because I only have this much time today. And it can be hard and scary to assert ourselves like that. But I always tell HSPs, it's like, it's either we speak up or we stay resentful and we get burnt out. And so you choose one discomfort or the other. You get the discomfort of speaking up or the discomfort of being resentful and burning out. So that's really important. And also just, you know, be like, we tend to be such caretakers and we tend to be those people that everyone turns to for advice, but you have to make sure you are filling your cup up first, which is so cliche, but again, use the resentment as a compass. Anytime you feel that way, how can you turn it back to yourself and how can you make a change and set a boundary that supports you better? A lot of HSPs, I've had people message me, oh, I feel so guilty setting a boundary. Oh, I feel like I'm a bad person. And it will feel this way because we're so used to just like being available all the time. But just because it's uncomfortable doesn't mean you're doing something bad.
Boundaries is a big one. I feel squirmish when you're talking about it, because I'm really guilty of that, of just taking on way too much. I'm in that space now actually where I'm like, taking on too much and not vocalizing how I feel. But Yeah, it's so important to do, isn't it? Because I think, yeah, resentment, that's also quite a strong word. And I think I was also feeling like, oh, but it's true. You do feel resentful, and you feel that can then turn into anger and spiral into so many other things. And it's like, well, yeah, why do you think that is as a HSP? Is it just because we are, like you said, like caregivers? And I guess, do you find that at the core, like that from your experience, is because we just want to help? Like, yeah.
That's one reason for sure, wanting to help. A lot of it can be conditioning. So it's okay. Like, might be the way that we kind of got love and approval. If we were always helping other people, that's like a big one. Mm-hmm. It could have been the way that we like kept ourselves safe in our home, you know, is just like going along with what everyone else wanted. A lot of HSPs, again, bringing it back to the self-worth piece, like find their sense of value and worth in being the person who's always caring for everyone else, who's there at their beck and call. It's like, it can feel like almost like a loss of identity if we ever set a boundary, because it's like, who am I if I'm not always available to help other people? Who am I if I'm not always caretaking? I tend to see it's like a trauma response and being deeply empathetic. I think we need to also have energetic boundaries, because if we're feeling other people's pain, we can feel like obligated to help and put their needs before our own. And we have to like get used to taking a step, tuning into ourselves and assessing if we even have the space, you know, to help.
Yeah, that cuts deep. There's a lot of journaling to go around that, isn't it? I'm definitely going to listen to that back and think about some of those ways where, yeah, it's so conditioned. When you were just saying, like, you know, it's like your identity would kind of be taken away, because it is in a way a kind of identity. And I think also being a HSP, it is a kind of identity, and I think it is good to lean into. But to appreciate when you need to set boundaries is important. I'm glad we touch on boundaries, because I think it is really important also in the space of magic and mindfulness, which is what the podcast is about. I think boundaries is not discussed enough, really. I would be curious to know, Alyssa, just in your day-to-day, I know you sort of mentioned a few at the beginning, but just Do you have any kind of personal practices that you do like throughout the day to kind of manage your energy levels and things like that?
Yeah, absolutely. So it definitely like looks different now as a mom, because my time is just like, I used to have this like great morning ritual, and I just don't have that right now. Mm-hmm. But I can share like what I do when I'm able to find time, because you can always find time, you can always make it work. So like I said, the EFT tapping, I seriously recommend that. That's such a great practice. That's just a good nervous system regulation thing. So I do try to do that every day, 5 to 10 minutes. I like to meditate before bed, tends to be the easiest for me now in this season of life. So I'm a big fan of meditation. I seriously used to do it every single day, and I'm really trying to get back into that, because without it, I notice that my thoughts will really run rampant. So meditation is just like, really helps me in my day-to-day life to kind of notice my thoughts. And I just, that's a practice I have all of the time, is noticing my thoughts, because a lot of HSPs tend to be anxious. I think it's just the sensitive nervous system and all of that. So having a meditation practice, practicing like noticing your thoughts and separating from those is huge. EFT tapping. Some other cool nervous system regulation techniques, like I said, the butterfly tapping. So you just like tap on either side of your shoulder, and it is very relaxing. Wu breath. I don't know if you're familiar.
What is it called? Sorry.
Wu. So it's V-O-O.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So anyone listening can just YouTube Wu, and it's just like you just go Wu, and you like it stimulates your vagus nerve, which calms your system.
Right. Okay.
So I like things, especially again in the season of life, that I can like get a bang for my buck. So short term, and I feel a shift. When I had more time, I loved to journal. Mm-hmm. Journaling is an amazing practice. So just having like a different things in your toolkit is huge. Just having things you can turn to, because when we get overwhelmed, it can be hard to think clearly, and then we can kind of stay stuck in the spiral of overwhelm. So if you kind of know a few things that you can turn to that calm you down, that's huge. and things like going for a walk outside or dancing or, you know, stretching, whatever, like having something that you can turn to just kind of shift your energy is really, really helpful.
Yeah, amazing. Thanks for sharing those. I just even love that you, and by the way, I'm all about sort of those small things that we can do, because I really believe it doesn't always have to be like sitting in lotus and like, you know, I also love meditation, but sometimes I'm just not in that place. And I think recently also I've been working with a coach, and she's been helping me to just sort of catch thoughts, literally just what you said, because I definitely go into spirals like very fast and just like think everyone hates me, and like it's just like the smallest thing of it not being true will just set me off, and then I'll catch that thought and be like, is that true or not? And normally 9 times out of 10 it's just complete fiction that my brain has just latched onto, and then it's always like goes into worst case scenarios. And I think that practice in itself for me has been a real big one, because I've never had that practice. And otherwise you just go into these spirals, and before you know it, you're just lying in bed, like completely.
Oh my gosh. You know? Yeah. And it's so important. And yeah, it's pretty radical to have that realization that like, I don't have to believe every thought that I think. And like, I did this work for years. Like I felt pretty dang good. Like I had my anxiety under control, but then I became a mom, and I feel like any new life transition, anytime you're doing something new, I feel like it brings up insecurities.
Yeah.
And I found myself getting anxious and ruminating again. And I started working with a therapist, and she reminded me of that practice, like just catching my thoughts. And so I'm kind of starting to catch my thoughts again. And then I'm doing like some tapping around them, which is the EFT around them. So like one thing is like, I don't feel supported. No one has my back. And then I do some EFT around that, and it helps me release that. And it's like, okay, like it's cool. Like you can, it's just amazing that there's these tools out here that are completely free. It just takes practice, because we're just, you know, used to ruminating and looping that we have to consciously get out of it.
Consciously do it, exactly. And those small things do make a big difference over time. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Thank you so much for sharing those. That's beautiful. Before we close, Alyssa, I would just like to say, I know like we've talked a bit about raising awareness for being a highly sensitive person. That's the work that you're doing, which I think is really amazing. And yeah, thank you for sharing all of this today. I think it's highly, highly helpful. What do you think it would do to help the world? Like if we were able to share this more, and also like, how can we advocate more for HSPs, even if we are maybe listening to this podcast and thinking, well, I'm not one, but I know someone that is, like, what can we be doing more of?
Yeah, I think just being more mindful of accepting people as they are, and not trying, like, if you are not a highly sensitive person, but you have someone in your life that you suspect is, like, just honoring them for who they are. Maybe they have big emotions and you don't understand why things impact them so much, because it doesn't impact you the same way, but just having an acceptance for them as they are is the most beautiful thing. Like my husband is not highly sensitive. He now knows tons about the trait because of me, and he'll meet people and tell me, oh, I think they're an HSP. And it's caused him to be more empathetic to a different type of person. So I think just having this information out there is so important, because people then can become aware and become more accepting. And, you know, on the flip of the coin too, it's like, again, there's just people out there who aren't going to get it no matter what. And so that's where us as HSPs still doing the work to empower ourselves and to be able to stand firmly grounded in who we are, whether or not someone accepts us, is huge. Because I believe that when there's more sensitive people who are like confident and feeling good and proud of who they are, and they can step into leadership roles, like we're just going to have more examples of sensitivity at the top, where there's going to be a kid who sees, you know, I don't know, some leader out there who's sensitive and emotional, and they'll see, oh, it's okay to be that way. Just want like more examples of that out there. So that's what I think.
I love it. I would love to see that too. It makes such a difference. And I think when I have had really great role models, I'm sure you probably have as well, it makes such a difference. And you think, well, yeah, I can be myself, and it's okay. I think more representation is in general in the world is a good thing, isn't it?
Absolutely.
Thank you so much. Well, if anyone would like to get in touch with you, or if you've got anything else you'd like to share, yeah, how can people find you? Have you got anything coming up as well that could be interesting for people to get involved with?
Right. Yeah. So I'm very active on Instagram. You can follow me there, Life by Alyssa. My website is sensitiveandsoulful.com. I'm like in the works of like creating some new things. So I'm like, I'm not even sure what I'm going to have at the time of the podcast, but there's always something. Like I always have offerings that live forever. So the Sensitive and Soulful Self-Worth course, something you can always enroll in. And I literally think every HSP should take it. I have a mini course on setting boundaries. I have a relationships mini course. Like there's so much out there that you can utilize. And I also have tons of free resources. So yeah, the website and Instagram, great way to connect with me.
Amazing. Thanks, Alyssa. Yeah, we'll pop your links in the show notes and I might do the boundaries course. I think that one's calling for me.
It's a good one.
yeah. Thank you so much for joining today. And I really appreciate your time and congrats on motherhood. And I hope, I'm sure you're going to be sharing more of that knowledge with the world soon as well. But being a HSP mom, looking forward to seeing that.
Definitely. Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you. Oh, lovely Alyssa. I enjoyed that chat so much. So knowledgeable. And I had no idea that HSP was something that we can be born with. And I really didn't expect that, actually. And I think now I have more empathy for someone that is a HSP. And even as myself, I know that I have some of these traits. And it's just good to be aware of so that we can be kinder to ourselves and also to others. And I'd really love to hear from listeners after this episode. Did this episode resonate with you? And maybe you can take that HSP test and tell us and let us know on Instagram if it resonated with you and maybe how far along the scale you are as well. We're always open to connecting further after the episodes to hear how they land for you. And if you didn't know already and you'd like to connect further with the podcast, then we also have a Patreon community subscription for only €4.44 a month. You can cancel at any time, and it's where we have monthly podcast episodes. So even when the main seasons aren't running, we continue them on. We also hold regular workshops and a community sharing space. So if you'd like to sign up, then we'll leave the link in the show notes. So I hope you enjoyed this episode today with Alyssa Boyer. I thought it was super interesting and let us know how it landed. Feel free to reach out on Instagram and see you soon. Thank you for listening to the Magic and Mindfulness podcast, the podcast designed for the modern mystic and spiritually curious. This season, creative production is by Emily Lasbury and co-production by George Lasbury. If you'd like to stay connected to what we're up to, make sure you follow us on Instagram at Magic and Mindfulness, and maybe share these episodes with a friend or give us a review or subscribe on your podcast platform of choice. This helps us to keep spreading the message and light work that we do. We appreciate every single one of you that tunes in. So stay well, stay safe, and see you soon.